When the Oscars first started, the ceremony lasted only 15 minutes. That's shorter than the applause break after Jimmy Kimmel makes his first Trump joke.
Yay. President Trump says he would have run in and confronted the Florida shooter even without a weapon. Well, his heart's in the right place, even though his head is straight up his ass. The number of U.S. organizations designated as hate groups has risen 20% in just 3 years. To be fair, most of them are anti-Guy Fieri.
Hey, I love Flavortown. The Pope has suggested that it's better to be an atheist than a bad Christian. Sounds like the Pope has never been at a college party trapped in conversation with an atheist. And finally, on a business trip to India to sell luxury condos, Donald Trump Jr. praised the country's poor for smiling and having, quote, spirit. He later apologized for the belittling comment and admitted he's never actually seen a poor person. Mm-hmm. The Trump Report starts now!
Live from Los Angeles, California, AfterBuzz TV and America's Voice, this is The Trump Report.
You know, I really think we have to change that where it says Los Angeles, California. Look, we get it. It's Los Angeles. It's California. But anyway, welcome to the Trump Report. It is a sparse panel this evening. I was telling Tamara and Anthony in the booth at Tony B. Tony, at least for five more minutes, he'll be at Tony B. Tony _. When I went to bed last night, we had five people on tonight's show. We had a full panel on the couch. And, They're dropping like Mueller indictments, and it's just the two of us here. But just the two of us. We're not going to sing.
Hey. Although,
if we run out of topics, maybe we will sing a little later.
I ain't apologizing.
It's me, yeah. Christian Blatt, at Christian DMZ, and Tamara.
At Tamara. Hey, Tamara, _.
Tamara, hey, Tamara, _. And so if you're watching live in the chat, help us. Join us. Contribute. What are your questions, your thoughts, your dreams, your hopes, your comments? We had a lot of comments after last week's show that we shouldn't talk about guns because we didn't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. We weren't really talking about, you know, how guns work and how to put them together and things like that.
That's the standard argument, usually.
The one thing that somebody was right about was that we didn't understand how a bump stock worked. And I was like, yeah, I thought I knew what it meant.
I think you said that.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know how it works. But, and then they're like, you don't know what a bump stock is. I'm like, no. And you know what? I still don't. The person explained it in the chat. Yeah. So, look, we talk about these things. And the interesting thing in the wake of that, there's actually quite a number of interesting things. Some heartbreaking things. Some things that make you shake your head. Some things, as Arsenio Hall used to say, things that make you go, But in addition to that, the interesting thing is Trump is all in on tougher background checks, on doing away with bump stocks, even if he has to go to every gun and break it down and take the bump stock out himself.
Sure, and
he's got time. He's got time.
He will as long as every single one of those bump stocks is at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, look, I mean, look, they have to go there. Mm-hmm. Sure, you know, well, you can get the guns shipped there. That's fine. I think that he's willing to get his hands dirty, and I wish that – and not that it's not great that you're here, but there's a couple people on the panel that I wish could hear me say, what if Trump gets so much done with strengthening background checks that he does more than Obama did, more than President Clinton did, and then he becomes like the guy who really improved the system on gun checks? This is a hypothetical.
Ultimately,
but what if he became the greatest gun safety president we ever had?
I think that would be amazing. I mean – I think who would disagree?
Right. Well, because people like, you know, Scott Moore, who's usually here at S-Man 80, yeah, I'll give him a plug, even though he's in like Rome right now.
Is he?
Yeah. He's not just like, oh, I can't make the show. No, I'm on vacation in Rome. Mm. Must be nice. But you know what? It's snowing there. So screw him. No, just kidding, Scott. But
it's almost snowing here.
He's always counting down to the impeachment. Mm-hmm. So what if he really, if President Trump made significant change on gun reform and, you know, it got to be a lot tougher? And what if he also tackled the mental health crisis and the opioid crisis? What if he did all these things and all these people who hate him, like not just like, oh, I disagree with the president's policy. No, people who hate him. Mm-hmm. What if he got all these things done? Would you think somebody like Scott Moore would vote to reelect him?
That is a really good question.
I think the answer is no.
I think the answer is no, but I think before you would even get to that, I think the people who hate Trump would be justifying, well, he got that through because of he was able to sway these Republican senators, or, you know, somebody else was able to sway these Republican senators. Credit would not be given to Trump.
No.
Should he accomplish those things. That being said, like, I mean, that's myself personally. Would I reelect him should these things come through? I mean, instinctually, I'd say no. But the fact is, I say repeatedly that our, you know, like, the biggest epidemic in my head right now is the way that Trump divides the country, as does, you know, so many facets of what's going on in politics right now is all about division and pitting Republicans against Democrats, conservative against liberals. And if I stand true to, you know,
the idea of inclusion, reaching across the aisle,
we should all, you know, not be so us versus them. If I truly believe that, then I have to, you know, also admit that should he actually make strides in background checks and, you know, things that are important to me, well, that's great. Then I hope that happens.
Right. I think that it's I understand people are rooting against President Trump, but it's easy when you're a liberal and you're rooting against the border wall and you're rooting against, you know, dismantling Obamacare and tax cuts that you think are a bad idea. But if you're rooting against the president when he's trying to do the things that Democrats have not been able to get done, you can root against it. But then if he gets it done, you know, you just have to be like, well, this guy got it done. You know, maybe I would rather not vote for him. You know, and this is not me speaking as me. This is me speaking as people who aren't here on the panel tonight, who usually are here. Mm-hmm. You just have to give it up to him. And I don't know if they can. The people on the panel, I think, might be able to. But I'm just saying, in general, your average, your above average diehard liberal, I don't think will give it up to President Trump. What do the people in the chat think? If President Trump, and even if maybe these aren't your issues, but if he accomplishes significant gun reform, are you going to be able to give it up to him and be like, you know, I don't like this guy, but he got it done. He's, you know, if he makes our schools safer, you know, you can be like, oh, I don't like a lot about him. He's a jackass. You know, he maybe doesn't have a great track record towards women and minorities and, you know, wives, any of that. But it's hard to just dig in the sand and be like, nope, I'm not giving it up to this guy. So I'd be interested to see what the chat thinks about that.
And I mean, and the, you know, okay, so let's say he does accomplish expanding background check and, you know, some form of gun regulation. You know, there's still the border wall, and there's still the alt-right rhetoric, and there's still all these
horrible things
that you're, you know, not going to want to cast your vote in favor of. So that is a tricky, tricky question.
Well, the interesting thing for President Trump is that he could really go all in on these things and be like, you know, I tried to get it done, but that damn Republican Congress just wouldn't pass my gun reform. They're in the pocket of the NRA. And he had interesting comments today about the NRA. You know, he's trying to play both sides of the fence, which I guess a lot of politicians do. But he's trying to say that, well, for the most part, they're good people, but we have to keep an eye on them, and not everything they do is going to be great. And, I mean, for a Republican president to even say what President Trump said, you're like, man, does he not want to get reelected? Like, does he not realize how this works? But I think Donald Trump is so focused on not just being our president, but being the best president, mm-hmm. the greatest president, the hugest president we've ever had. Well, he's on his way to that one. Thank you. but to just be the best president, it's like he's like, I'm gonna do everything. All the stuff that nobody could get done. Like, he doesn't really know. I don't think he's got so many tried and true diehard beliefs. He's like, yeah, this gun control thing, this is really registering with people. Terrible shooting. They keep happening. You know what? Not on my watch. Trump's gonna have his people get their hands dirty and try and get it all done.
It's the gun issue specifically, like, is such a pressing, there's such urgency to it that I think most people would agree that whoever can get it done needs to, you know, like, sure. If he can do it, then power to him.
Yeah. Well, this topic is lighting the chat on fire. For those watching live on YouTube, you can see there. If you're watching the show after the fact, you can tweet us at Trump Report ABTV, as in After Buzz TV.
Oh, is that what that means?
It does. Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was American Bandstand, and I was wrong. But we are hopping tonight. Superior Mint 99 says that Trump won't get these things done because he's too stupid, so it doesn't matter. Lady Goth says, I will give credit when credit is due, and I'll try not to hit him on the way out. So there you go. I think that that's kind of the way it's like, you know what? Good. I'm glad he got it done, but he still needs to go.
That, for sure.
And let's see. Storage Yard Resident, great friend of the show. I am going to vote for Trump in 2020. Storage Yard Resident, I knew that. I knew that on November 8th, 2016. I knew you were going to vote for Trump in 2020. The thing that'll be news is when somebody like Storage Yard Resident is like, oh, I am not voting for him. Mm-hmm. Like, somebody like Storage Yard Resident isn't going to vote for a Democrat. But somebody like Storage Yard Resident deciding to stay home in 2020 – that would be interesting to see. Well, what's going to happen over those next 2.5 years? Which, by the way, it's 2.5 years until Election Day. It's mm-hmm. even a little bit more. It's like 2 years and 8 months, 9 months. Almost. It's crazy how long it is. It's less than 3, though.
What's his name?
Storage Yard Resident.
Storage Yard.
Yeah. Resident. He's Fred Sanford. Yeah. Mm. He works at the Storage Yard. No, you know what? Storage Yard Resident has been a guest on the show. Yeah. We had him Skype in once. Yeah. Great. And, you know, we might be due to have him check in, again, Storage Yard. So, make sure you message me. We'll figure that out soon. Demonaut says gun regulation is not the problem. Laws only apply to those who are going to follow the law. If you want to commit a crime, you'll find a way to. I do agree with that. But as we talked a lot about last week, let's just make it harder. Let's make it a little bit more difficult to do those things.
I disagree with that argument. I hear that.
Their argument or my argument?
That one.
Demonaut.
The argument that you regulate guns, there people who want to commit crimes are going to find their way around it. That is an argument against laws themselves. That's not applied directly to gun control specifically. Like, laws seem to work.
Yeah, I mean it's a good point. You know, murder's illegal, and so I think it keeps it in check in most places, except for unfortunately like Chicago. But other than that, everywhere else, you know, they're able to get it in check. R. Scott Brown has a funny one in the chat. I won't be Russian to vote for him. R-U-S-S-I-A-N. Now that I like.
Oh,
I'm a huge fan of puns, and that's actually a good pun. Uh-huh. What I really love. Bad puns that like go way too far. Mm-hmm. But this is a good pun, so good for you. And yeah, you know what? Lady Goth agrees with you, Tamara. With all due respect, it's lazy logic. People are going to rape, but we still have rape laws, parentheses, weak ones for a reason. There was one that I liked that I think I lost. Oh, Lady Goth says, how punny. And Storage Yard Resident said Fred Sanford is his hero. Fred Sanford is kind of all of our hero. Hmm. So,
interesting. Fred Sanford and Trump.
Yeah. Well, hey, if you could have that ticket. Complete aside, the mascot for my college was the Marist College Red Foxes. So Red Fox.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So at no point was there ever like a cartoon Red Fox that came out at halftime in a basketball game. But, well, I always thought that there should have been. Anyway, like I said, tangent. In any case... William Winters is in the chat, and he has a lot of he seems to have some interesting thoughts about fake news and things. So if you want to sort of narrow down the scope of what you're trying to say, I'd be happy to sum it up here in the chat. Anyway, so that's a little bit of what's going on in the chat. The other news that's sort of not even sort of the news that we've gotten in the wake of the Stoneman Douglas shooting is the revelation that the former deputy, Scott Peterson, was there on the scene and didn't go in because he's waiting for backup. And there's a lot of reasons why you can do that to an active shooting. Look, we weren't there. We don't know what the protocol is. you feel like if kids are being shot, you should go in. And yes, if you get shot, that's the price you pay for trying to save kids. You know, if you getting shot saves one kid, I don't know. I think that that might be what your job is. Mm-hmm. And this was sort of led to a review of a whole campus security program there in Florida. And it's heartbreaking to hear that, you know, there could have been less loss of life and lice.
And lice.
Because it's an elementary school.
They did the lice check a week before, as we know.
That's true. So I just think that, you know, and I'm not going to go as far as people say he's a coward. I am going to say that it's very questionable judgment. And I, for one, wish that he had been able to go. He had felt comfortable going inside to try and help the kids.
I think this is the clearest indication that should we arm teachers with guns, this is clearly what's going to happen. Like, that just goes to show that when somebody is there with a gun, it's not going to necessarily fix anything. We're just lucky it didn't make anything worse.
Right. But to put on the devil's advocate hat, which is a very stylish hat, it actually has a little red devil on it from the paint can. The argument would be like, well, if the teachers had guns, you wouldn't have needed him to come in because they would have been packing and ready to, you know, take control of the situation. Let us know what you think in the chat. What this really comes down to is President Trump not immediately, but I saw him respond, said that he would have run into the Florida school without a weapon. Even if he didn't have a weapon, he would have gone in there. And Tamara, I ask you, what that you have seen from Donald Trump, not just as president, but in a public life that spans more than 30 years at this point, what about Donald Trump have you seen that makes you think, you know what, he's a selfless guy. I think even without a weapon, yeah, he would have run into that
a Miss Universe contest pageant when he walked into the dressing room unannounced when there were girls as young as 13 years old, possibly younger, changing. And that was, you know, one of the his missteps as far as
I'm sorry, but that sounds very brave to me that he walked into that dressing room unannounced.
Well, so what I'm saying is that then sure, yes, he would. There are in fact teenage girls in the high school. So if he's going to walk into a dressing room of teenage girls unannounced, then I bet he would storm into that school with gusto.
I found those comments hard to believe. I don't even know that I'm going to take the time to quantify whether or not they're distasteful.
I mean,
you can draw that conclusion for yourself.
We can all sit here and say, well, if I had been there, you know, if I had met Hitler, I would have killed him. You know, I would have.
Okay, I would have had him sign one of his paintings, and then I would have killed him because then the value would have tripled. But that's just the way. That's how I time travel. Okay, you know, if you have a problem with the way I time travel, don't time travel.
No,
with me.
I do not.
Don't get in my TARDIS. I will time travel by myself. But I'll be very
strong opinions about time travel, as we know.
Yeah, anybody who's watched the show absolutely knows that. The real point is, if I was there and I didn't have a weapon, I would not have gone into that school. I would have called for someone, law enforcement, with a weapon. And I would have certainly hid and, you know, made sure I made my call and got someone there. The fact that someone with a weapon was there, that's the real problem. But if I was there with a weapon, here's the reason why I wouldn't go in. I have no idea how to shoot a gun. Like, if I go in there with that gun, I could probably do more harm than good. You know, I mean, maybe I guess not necessarily the case. I could probably scare the shooter in some way. But yeah, I fired a gun once.
At best, wouldn't you think like you would run in and try to usher out some students?
Sure.
Or shield somebody or,
okay,
you know.
I guess the question would be, you're really going to split hairs here. Where's the shooter? Where am I? Yeah. What door am I coming in? Can I help kids get out? Sure. But do I look in and see the guy with the gun through like a little tiny window? Let's just say I see him. Oh, I can't go in there without a gun. That's crazy. I'm not as brave as President Trump is what I'm trying to say. I don't pretend to be. I have never, as Tamara pointed out, I've never gone into a dressing room with 13-year-old girls unannounced. When I was 15, I did it announced, and it was still wrong. Still wrong.
Christian.
What? I'm saying it was wrong. I was a kid. Come on, it was the 90s. And they say if you can remember.
You were 15
yeah,
also.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I was 15. Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. No. I was 15. The girls were 13. But they say if you remember the 90s, you weren't really there. In any case.
I do not because I don't have VH1. So.
You don't have VH1? Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Got rid of live TV.
Good for you. Anyway, I'd like to know from the chat, what are some instances of President Trump's bravery that you'd like to...
Nobody can say what they would do. The actual scenario of encountering a live shooter is such an experience that you can all day long theorize about, I would do this, I would do that. But when you'd actually be faced with it, I mean... The reality of the gravity of that situation, I mean, I can't even venture a guess as to what I would do.
You know what, realistically, let me put it this way. If my kid went to that school and sure. I would have gone in, you know, mm-hmm. that's different. So I guess that's where the difference is. And I guess that sounds selfish, but that's just sort of the blind protection of your own child. You know, so if I'm a parent at that school and I get there, I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to go in and try and, you know, if I can help my kids, sure, but let me help some of the other kids. Sure. I feel like that's the scenario. Yeah.
Trump was imagining if he was in that scenario, he'd imagine that the bronze bust of himself that he has in the entryway at Mar-a-Lago was inside that school, and he wanted to make sure it was undamaged. He would run in there.
In a scenario where if any of his kids were inside that school, you know, except Tiffany, but if any of the other kids were there, then I know, poor Tiffany, but
poor Tiffany and poor Guy Fieri. They're always just...
Yeah, Guy Fieri, really, just taking it hard. Yeah. I really do love Flavortown. So there's some great comments in the chat. The Demon Knot and R. Scott Brown had similar comments about Trump would have been able to dodge bullets as well as he dodged the draft.
Ooh, good one.
And I have to give them both credit because they both independently did it. And it came up around the same time. Storage Yard Resident points out, in Israel, the teachers are armed. Look... That's a whole different situation there. But, I mean, I also in Israel for an adult is mandatory military service. Mm-hmm. So, not mandatory, but mandatory. That's actually what I meant. And you know what? If this country had mandatory military service, maybe then, all right, you know what? If you're a teacher and you have a license and you have training, that's a different conversation. I'm not saying it's automatically a good idea, but I could see it possibly making more sense, but that is a very different situation. But do you disagree, Tamara?
I mean, this is to open up a whole other can of worms, but the problem that we have with police brutality, they are trained people who are trained with weapons. And, you know, look how controversial it is as to the actions that are often taken by our police force. So, should training and education on guns and firing and everything, should that come into the school, the same kinds of things are going to happen, which is, you know, that's been talked about.
Sure.
Minorities being targeted and things like that. Should teachers be armed?
Well, an interesting viewpoint on whether or not teachers should be armed. Again, the Demon Knot, who's on fire in the chat. I bet those teachers would have liked to have been armed rather than rely on those four police officers standing outside watching the whole thing go down. Interesting point.
But what I'm saying is that if the police officers did not go in for whatever reason they have, if you were in a classroom armed on the other side of the building, you can say the exact same thing. I mean, it's just to me, the fact that there were people on the scene who were armed and couldn't do anything is just an indication that arming teachers isn't going to make any difference.
William Winters in the chat, I agree wholeheartedly. The truth is the shooting would never have happened if the FBI didn't drop the ball. I definitely agree on that. There were so many red flags. President Trump had nothing to do with the FBI being incompetent. I agree with that. I think that there are certainly people who would maybe in a partisan fashion try and figure out a way to blame him. But I think that that is indeed the fault of the FBI. Couple of final comments, and then we'll take a quick break and we'll move on from this, which I thought we were going to talk about for 5 minutes. But school shootings. You know, I don't want to do the show on school shootings every week, but it's entirely possible that we could. Some jerk left his cell phone on and a text message from Daddy just went over the mic. Hi, Dad. Anyway, he's actually not watching. That's the worst thing. It's not he's texting questions about the show.
How do I join the chat, Christian?
Yeah, well, not that far off. R. Scott Brown asks, has the NRA ponied up any money to harden the schools or set up a program whereby members could guard schools?
Well,
they can hire veterans, Demonaut says. Let's see. And I think Lady Goth, the final word on this. I'm okay with veterans being officers. In other countries, people train for years to be officers. Here, it's just months. All right. We can continue to talk about this in the future. If you're watching the archive version or listening to the archive version, you can comment on the YouTube page or at Trump Report ABTV. As I said, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to see if we can find, we're going to search high, and we're going to search low. We're going to see if we can find Jared Kushner's security clearance. So we'll be right back, right after this. Welcome back. That felt like an eternity to you. It did to me, too. This is the Trump Report on AfterBuzz TV and America's Voice. Had a very spirited conversation about gun control in the first 20 minutes, but we'll try and move on to other things in the next couple shorter segments we have here. I'm Christian Blatt. You can find me at Christian DMZ, joined by the lovely and talented Tamara Brown. Where do people find Tamara Brown?
Hey, you can subscribe to my YouTube page, Hey Tamara. I got an impression of Sarah Huckabee Sanders up there. You should check out.
I remember you mentioning that on the show, and I remember that I still have not watched that. That's my fault, though. You know what? Hey, I need my dad to text me, hey, you should watch it.
Yeah. That's probably, I think that's what he linked it to right there.
Yeah. No, you know what? Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So thanks, Dad. Anyway, as I alluded to before the break, Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor. Isn't it nice how that works? He's been stripped of his top secret security clearance. And this is only because it took months to complete his background check. And now he's going to be limited in his ability to view highly classified information. So my first point on this is, if President Trump wants him to see classified information, I am sure that he's going to see classified information. I believe that's in violation of several things. Like, he should know better than to look at it, and President Trump should know better than to show it to him. But does this surprise you, Tamara, that the president's son-in-law was not properly vetted and does not have top secret security clearance?
Does it surprise me?
Yes.
No, it doesn't surprise me. We've found a lot of things like this are a little willy-nilly in the administration, a little unthorough when it comes to sort of vetting a lot of people in the administration. I was always under the assumption that Jared Kushner's security clearance was in a lot of ways there so that he could explain things to Trump. He's one of the only people that he listens to. So I feel like even though he's being stripped of a certain level of security, there's still probably things that are just going to be informally passed.
Yeah, I think that's not really going to change. But I mean, so he's going to be fairly limited in the amount of foreign affairs work he's going to do abroad. And I think it raises some questions. The first, why? Why does he not have top secret security clearance? What turned up on that background check? And I'm not as big a proponent of all the collusion, Russia, and all this thing as some people who will sometimes sit on this panel are. But at the same time, when you see things, we talked earlier about things that make you go, this is one of those.
There's been a lot of 90s references this show.
Yeah, well, that's,
or is that 80s?
No, that so it's like 1990. So it really depends on who you ask.
I do. So why has he been stripped of this security clearance? Yes, I do personally think it has something to do. There's something to do with the Mueller investigation. There's something that's been unearthed, which we won't find out for a little while.
Maybe after President Trump's third term, after he changes the Constitution.
Exactly.
I wish Scott was here. I would like to watch like the sudden like chest pains that happened when I teased the idea. Yeah, and look, I'm not pretending to actually know the answers, but you just feel like, all right, you know, this is a guy who is a very successful businessman, multinational corporation. Where's he gone? Who's he met with? What's he done? And let's take into consideration, maybe he didn't have anything to do with anything against any election rules or any of that. There's just something that they're just like, yeah, this is not somebody that we should really have representing the country.
Yeah, so good thing he had that year of security clearance.
Yeah. Yeah, he's set up all the Swiss bank accounts that he needs to at this point.
So he doesn't need it anymore.
He's got some holdings in the Caymans now that, you know, maybe he got paid in rubles, maybe he didn't. Those are jokes. It's all right. Calm down.
It's astonishing that this hasn't created any sort of huge uproar. The security breaches within the administration. I know I don't like to bring up Hillary since that's so over and done with, but just the outrage that came from people over her emails and the server and everything like that because of security issues. And then these things happening and people are like, what are you going to do? You know, it's such a ridiculous double standard.
Right. And it's the double standard that doesn't affect your person. You know, I mean, and I don't mean you personally, but, you know, if somebody's a Trump person, they're like, no, none of this stuff matters. All the Hillary stuff mattered. Somebody's a Hillary person, like, no, we don't care about that stuff. But this.
But
really
even Democrats, I mean, Democrats aren't as outraged about this as Republicans were about Hillary's emails. Do you think they are?
No, I don't. Sorry, I saw a very nasty comment that was deleted. I'm able to see it, but the people in the chat aren't. Let's just say Red Cliff is not a fan of Hillary Clinton, and we're going to leave it at that.
See, that's my bad for even
going there. That's what happens when you mention Hillary Clinton. You know, if you say her name, if you go into a room, you turn the light out, and you say her name 21 times, she will show up in the mirror, and she will haunt you for 4 years until she runs for president.
Why 21 times?
Wasn't that what you used to do for Lizzie Borden? I think it was 21 times.
21?
Yeah, that's what I remember. Oh. It's not Beetlejuice. Mm-hmm. It was a lot easier. You just said that 3 times, and I've already said it once. Will I say Beetlejuice one more time before the end of the show? Let's find out. In any case, R. Scott Brown agrees with our sentiment. The president is the declassifier in chief. He can share information with anyone. And yeah, I believe that that is absolutely the case. I think that's what's going to happen. Before we take a break and we talk about something more substantial.
Like the Oscars.
Like the Oscars. Yeah. 3 billboards. None of them are interesting. No, I tease. I kid the
Loved
3 billboards.
It.
No,
it.
Well, that's because it's in Missouri or whatever, right? Isn't that really what it came down to?
No,
I know. No, I actually thought they're great performances in the movie. I'm teasing. I was just trying to think of a joke to make about the movie not being good, but I did enjoy it. Because I'm a Sam Rockwell guy.
This debate's going to get even more fired up.
Just wait.
That nasty comment about Hillary is going to come back even
we'll take a break after this, but the story that I can't let go away. Alleged Kremlin call girl begs for U.S. rescue from Thai jail. Thai police arrested a Belarusian call girl whose tell-all book and Instagram posts inadvertently exposed ties to the Kremlin of a Russian billionaire who'd done business with Paul Manafort, President Trump's embattled former campaign manager. The self-described mistress of Russian billionaire Oleg Deprishchenko, who I believe is a character on the upcoming season of The Americans, is now begging for an American rescue, saying that I'm ready to tell you about all those jigsaw puzzles you were missing to support it with audio, video regarding the connection between our dear parliament members with Manafort, Trump, and all the buzz around the election in the USA. This is from Nastia. Or Miss Jackson, if you're nasty. Rybka. I'm doing terrible in my Eastern European pronunciations. I feel like this is one of those situations. It's not easy being Nastia. So I feel like this is one of those situations that that Scott Moore, who's usually here on the panel, Chelsea Lee's here, friend Drexel Hurd, who sometimes used to be on the panel, whatever it takes, they would kick in to the Kickstarter or GoFundMe to get her out of jail. Mm-hmm. Because she says she has video and audio. And here's the thing. The thing that I know, the thing that my grandpappy taught me before he passed, Russian call girls never lie. Mm-hmm. They always tell you the truth.
Heard that?
So yeah, you've probably heard that too, right? Yeah, I think that was a deleted scene from Three Billboards. I believe that they mentioned that. So I know that when you get the – look, first of all, she's a genius for being able to put this out there that's like, look, if you get me out of this Thai jail, the things that I will let you know. And, you know, and then if she gets out of the Thai jail, it's like, oh, yeah, I don't know what happened to, you know, the cloud. You know, the cloud crashed or whatever. But I want to know, people in the chat, when you hear stories like this, do you think that when there's smoke, there's fire? Or do you think that people are just trying to cash in on, once again, on Americans being suckers and hope that somebody decides to get her out of the jail? Because here's the thing. The people that you're pleading to, well, President Trump's not going to get you out of that Thai jail. Because if you do actually know something, he's going to make sure you stay there.
What could she possibly – these videos, I mean, what – I feel like she gets out of jail, she leaks some I don't see it actually leading to anything.
Well, according to rumor and innuendo that if the video is the video we think it is, there will be quite a few leaks in it. In that case, we will take a break and we'll be right back with just a few more minutes of the Trump report right after this. Welcome back to the Trump Report. Always keeping it classy here on AfterBuzz TV and America's Voice. I'm Christian Blatt at ChristianDMZ. She's not.
Nope. I'm Tamara. You can find me at HeyTamara_ on Twitter.
And apparently, you know, during the break, I watched some great Sarah Huckabee Sanders impressions.
Yeah.
You saw me do it.
Yeah.
You know I watched it.
Yeah.
That is not fake news.
Trying to get it down yourself, doing the impression.
Yeah, I know. I wish I could. Yeah, I think you get a lot of mileage out of that impression, by the way, because she's no spicy. She's going to stick around.
Oh.
I think she loves that job.
She's so – you know, I can't help but like her. I admit it. I admit it. She's like a – she's so good at her job.
Yeah.
She's like a skilled surgeon at a hospital of horrors. She's like the most world-renowned surgeon whose skill is sewing babies together.
Yeah, because, the thing you always heard about Dr. Mengele was that he was an excellent surgeon. You know, he just, you know, the work that he did, he took pride in it. So, but I think that, it's just, she's so good at it and she just enjoys turning the tables on the media who is not used to being treated like that. And there are things that I certainly don't love about the Trump administration, but his handling of the media is kind of fun at times. There's times where it's not, but in general, because let's be honest, people in the media are a little self-important and there are people who do great work. And then you have other people who they're just a low-level celebrity. You know, you're like less famous than Kelly Ripa. And not that she isn't a huge talent. I'm just saying.
Your Wolf Blitzers?
I wasn't going to say his name. I don't know. I went to a debate once that was moderated by him. And there was time before it started. And Wolf was like, does anybody have any questions? And it was just dead silent. It's like, no. Nobody has any questions for you, Wolf.
Anybody want an autograph?
Silence. Silence. When I was a White House intern, though, I used to always see him coming out of the Starbucks every morning, and I didn't say anything. But his Starbucks cup always said Wolf, not Wolf. I don't know why that was funny to me, but I said it anyway. Anyway, we only have a few minutes left. The CPAC conference ended over the week. It was held over the weekend, and I actually went there once. The Conservative Political Action Committee was held in Washington, D.C., and one of the things that was on display, Bill Kristol of the Weekly Standard tweeted about this, what was not on display was the Republican Trump haters. They seem to have gone away, the never Trumpers. I don't think that they've become Trumpers. I do think that there are people who didn't vote for Trump, don't like him, but are seeing policies that are benefiting themselves or – excuse me. That was terrible to do on mic. I was really like, I can hold that back. No, I can't. But anyway, so I think there are people who – like Trump more than they thought they would. Let's put it that way. There are definitely people who love Trump. But I think that some of your never Trumpers are just like, all right, this isn't a fight worth having. I'm just going to be over. A friend of mine who actually had been a guest on Trump versus Hillary before it became the Trump Report. When Trump won, he's just like, I don't like him. He's a conservative. And he's just like, nobody wants to hear from me right now. So, you know, I'll sit this out for a little while. And I think it's interesting because they're still out there. But at CPAC, the one woman who spoke was basically shouted down and booed. So I guess there's not room for that right now. I guess it's
what, a woman speaking in a conservative organization?
I think I walked into that.
Is there no room for that?
I believe I walked into that. What about Sarah Huckabee Sanders? She could speak.
She sure can. That's Sarah.
Because you love her. We all love her. But anyway, I think that it's a fair point. This was an article that I saw that the BBC wrote. Obviously, I was looking for spoilers in the new season, Doctor Who, and I didn't find it. But I found this article about CPAC, and I thought it was interesting because I thought about it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, they're not everywhere. Like, even a year ago right now, they were still around. They were vocal because, I don't know, maybe they just realized, like, you know, people are kind of happy with the way this is going. This isn't helping myself.
Happy
or my brand
with it, or there hasn't been we haven't been nuked by North Korea. Like, are they happy with it? Like, you got a little bit of more money in your paycheck. What are they happy with?
Well, I think that those are the sorts of things that people are happy with. And by the way, money in your paycheck, absolutely, because I think that's a bottom line thing. That's like, I can see that right now. You know, I mean, look, people are going to. Over the next couple of months, people are going to be filing their tax returns. And if they see...
So if they get $30 more in their paycheck, adding on to the deficit that they have probably been complaining about for the past administration the entire time.
But to their point, it's like, well, you know, it's not my deficit.
Well, it's yeah.
Yeah, but that's the point. So when you file your tax returns, if you have more money in it, you're going to be like...
So there's that they're turning, you know, they're turning towards Trump.
Well, I think people are – I'm not saying the never Trumpers are happier with him. They're seeing more people happy with him than they thought would have been. So the most vocal never Trumpers, not Bill Kristol, who still tweets about it and gets yelled at on Twitter. It's actually a good follow, just to kind of get a different perspective. But I think that they're just realizing it's like I'm not going to die on this hill. I'm not going to, you know, why am I going to be the anti-Trump guy? The Democrats are doing it already.
That's throwing your hands in the air. That's just like, whatever. What are we going to do? You know, like,
look, March Madness is coming up. I think they're just like, you know what? I'm just going to focus on the tourney. I really want to do a good bracket this year. Who cares what Trump does in March?
Yeah, it's like a. What's the word? It's just giving up. That's what it is, so than turning in favor, you know.
Yeah.
Saying, yeah, you know what? He's actually doing a good job. No, it's not that.
No, I don't think that they think he's doing a good job. I just think that the point that the article made is that the Republican Trump haters, they have not gone away. I think that their numbers are smaller. I think you have more people who are indifferent on Trump.
Do you think they're turning libertarian or
I think
they're changing. They're calling themselves something else now.
They're calling themselves something else. Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, let's be honest. These are people who are conservatives. Donald Trump is not a conservative, but the Conservative Political Action Committee was an outlet for him and his views and his policies. And real conservatives realize like, oh, there's not room for me here. So you're going to have to see who maybe does have a spot for you at the table, because it's not Democrats. They do not have room for you at the table, you know, but that was really loud. Yeah. It was like a chair rolling in here. Do you think
ghost chair?
We're haunted by the Russian call girl? I hope she's still alive for her sake. But if she died in prison, is she haunting us? Anyway, great conversation this week. Tamara, thanks so much for being here.
Hey, thank you.
I think this was a great chat, just one-on-one. Sort of an asterisk to that. Thanks for being here, because if you weren't, it was going to be just me reading questions in the chat.
You in the ghost chair.
I don't much like the ghost chair. Tamara, where can people find you?
I think you guys know by now. Hey, Tamara _ on Twitter. Hey, Tamara on YouTube.
And you can find me at ChristianDMZ. That's on your Twitter. That's on your Instagram. Don't look for me on Snapchat.
Stop bragging.
I am not there on Snapchat. I do have a Snapchat, but I just don't use it. But anyway, I have one. And I have my own personal podcast, The Blatcast. You can find that at BLADTCAST.com. Thanks so much to everybody in the chat. It was a great conversation. And we'll be back next week with some more of our usual friends. We'll see you then.